Hello, girls and boys. Today we're going to make music.
KXRNLP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach, KX93.5.
93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is the Friendship Show. In the studio today, we have co-host Dawn Price and Mark Miller. Dawn, good morning.
Good morning.
There she is. Dawn, I wanted to talk briefly about the 25th anniversary of Friendship Shelter. And what events are coming up that we need to know about?
Right, we're already 3+ months into our 25th anniversary year. We're really excited. We're planning our gala, which we're announcing fairly soon. We'll announce the exciting theme for that. And the gala committee actually meets this month for the first time, and that will be on November 1st.
And what can you explain the gala and what
well,
that
is? This is our big blowout. This is our big party with the live and silent auctions.
Nice.
And a fantastic committee full of committed people that are helping us raise money and awareness.
Very nice.
So that'll be November 1st. We should mention while we're talking about galas that KX93.5's big event is tonight, Casino Night. Sold out, sorry.
Very nice.
But it'll be fun. But coming up much more quickly than that will be our March 2nd, 1st speaker series event. We're doing this sort of
May 2nd. Okay,
it's early. May 2nd we'll have our first speaker series event. We're doing this sort of as a gift to the community and to our residents, and what we've asked interesting prominent people to do is give a little talk about things they've encountered in their life that were obstacles, and talk directly to our residents and our graduates about how to bounce back after things go all
Very
wrong
nice.
In your life. And so our first event on May 2nd will be with Chapman University President Jim Doty.
Ooh.
We'll be talking about climbing mountains.
Wow.
And Santina Davies, who's a local, fantastic local philanthropist here in Laguna Beach, who had a just horrific fall off of a mountain in South Africa.
Oh my gosh.
And nearly died, took years to come back from, so she's going to talk about her struggle. And then we're screening a short film that was shortlisted for the Oscars called The Night Shift Belongs to the Stars, that Laguna local Paula Porini-Beeson co-produced. And
wow.
So kind of a theme of mountains. We're calling it Speaking of Mountains, and we'd love to have people come out for that. There's information on our website.
That sounds great. Hey, how many people were at the last event last year, the big gala event?
We had about 400 people.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You're expecting about the same this year as well?
We think we'll be higher because it's the 25th anniversary. Everybody wants to come to a birthday party.
Right? Ah.
So, yep.
And then, of course, we have the irrepressible Mark Miller, who, Mark, you want to talk a little bit about your encore performance last night of Love Letters?
Well, we did, you know, we had such a great response to the show when we did it a couple of weeks ago that we came back and we scheduled two more shows. Last night's show sold out. Not a seat in the house.
So standing room only.
Yeah, standing room only. We were extremely excited. So we have one more show left today, 2 o'clock at BC Space.
BC Space, which is a great gallery downtown.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, really nice.
I really like that space.
And the owner's name again is Mark.
Mark Chamberlain.
Nice
the guy. Who's been running that place for 40 years.
Yeah, very cool.
235 Forest Avenue.
You got it. Hey, also in the studio today, we have Corey and Cyrus from Sparkle Films. Gentlemen, good to see you again. And of course, photographer extraordinaire, Faye Chapman. Our guests today are John Batdorf and James Lee Stanley. We're going to open with a music song. I think it's, which one did we pick? Jumping Jack Flash? Off their Wood and Stones CD. And here they are, and we'll be back to talk to them shortly. Jack Flash, John Batdorf, James Lee Stanley, two iconic Southern California singer songwriters here to discuss their new CD, All Wood and Stones 2. Thank you, John, for the number 2 sign. Or was that a peace sign?
However way you want.
I'll take the peace sign. Thank you. So, John, I wanted to start with you. A lot of people probably know you from the duo Batdorf and Rodney.
True.
You guys shared the stage with the likes, and I made a list here of Dan Fogelberg, Hall & Oates, Kris Kristofferson, Jackson Browne, Linda Ronstadt, Fleetwood Mac, the Doobie Brothers, and so many others. I thought we'd open up with one of your songs.
Sure.
Called Home Again, or titled Home Again, and give us a sense of what you've been working on since then.
Great. Yeah, I wrote this actually in 1972, sitting on a front porch in Hollywood. We had a really cool band house.
Wow.
And I was inspired to write this song. It goes like this. Opened up, the daylight found me sitting underneath an old tree, clearing up what once was cloudy, knowing most of all I'm happy. All my life I've waited for this day. I am home again. And all my life you helped me find the way. I am home again. Have a new direction facing. Now I'm sought instead of chasing. Time to slow down, no more racing. Spend some time at home, embracing. I've waited for this day. I am home again. Ooh, and all my life you helped me find the way. I am home again. Ooh. Nothing in the air but singing. Music plays in harmony. Everything around is ringing. Oh, happiness at last found me. Happiness at last found me. Yeah. At last found me. Oh, happiness at last found me.
life. I've waited for this day. I am home again. Ooh, and all my life, you helped me find the way. I am home again.
Nice.
Oh, thank you.
John Batdorf working up a sweat.
Everybody yeah, up.
It's hard work.
At 9 a.m., I dare say.
That's a great song, by the way. That was a song we used for a music documentary we did for Homemade.
Yes.
You allowed us the opportunity to use that song, and I want to thank you for allowing us to do that.
Sure.
Just briefly, and then I'm going to roll into James Lee Stanley. Once you left Batdorf and Rodney, you did some, I looked this up, sort of, you did some composing for TV shows like Touched by an Angel and Promised Land.
I did. Also did like 20 years of studio singing, singing the likes of, anywhere from Donna Summer to Motley Crue to, you name it. I was the lead singer on the Tom and Jerry Kids show, cartoon show, and a bunch of other stuff. It's been really a fun ride, man.
Yeah. And you're a hardworking musician. I mean, this is your life. You've devoted your entire life to it. You probably sleep it, eat it. Every day you're waking up, creating, producing new songs.
So I think I kind of know how to do that. I'm pretty good at.
Yeah. Very nice. And that song sounded great, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. James Lee Stanley.
Scott Hayes.
There he is. You got an accent. Shared the stage with the likes of Bonnie Raitt, Robin Williams, Bill Cosby, and so many others.
It's true. A lot of comedians and a lot of, I've been really blessed.
You have. And we were talking earlier over coffee that you've produced, how many albums would you say over your career?
Albums of mine or duet albums, 29, but perhaps another, 50 obscure albums. So I've done a lot of work in the studio and a lot of work on the road.
That's amazing. I mean, it really is. Again, another hard-working musician.
This is my favorite project. Working with John is, I think it's just one of my favorite things to do.
Well, that sounds great, So we're going to get together shortly here and listen to some of the songs off the new CD.
Sure, sure. You want to hear something solo, though, before it starts?
Do you mind?
I can hardly wait.
What's the song you want to play for us?
I'm going to play a tune called Let's Get Out of Here.
Let's Get Out of Here.
Okay, this is how this is,
James Lee Stanley.
Let's get out of here. You and me, let's disappear. It would be so fine to leave it all behind. Let's just get out of here. We'll make a getaway. Why should we wait another day? Yes, the time is right. I say we go tonight. Let's just get out of here. Find some exotic location, someplace with an ocean view. No one around for miles and miles. World of me and you. Gotta make. We'll take a car, take a train, a boat, or take a plane. Let's just get out of here. Take a car, take a train, take a boat, or take a plane. Let's just get out of here. A car, take a train, take a boat, or take a plane. Let's just get out of here.
what the kids would call sick. That was sick.
Thank
was
you. Sick. Thank you. Nice and sick. That's off the new solo album, Backstage of the Resurrection.
Very nice. Yeah. Beautiful. Thanks. I mean, really quite beautiful.
Thank you.
The guitar playing and the vocals blending very nicely.
I made this vest, too, you know.
I multi-talented individual.
And stole that hat.
That's right.
You guys took different...
From a pimp.
You guys took different musical paths.
Right, lost the feather.
Yeah, there speaking of hats, right?
James, you call yourself a freelance human being. And I wanted to get a sense of what you mean by that and how that applies to you musically.
Well, you know, as a musician in this economy, you essentially get up every day and make up your life, you know. I mean, right. I mean, John started out writing songs and singing a part of Baddorf and Rodney, and he was in that group. Then he did TV work, then he did studio work. You do, as a freelance human being, you do whatever you can to stay doing music.
Right.
You know, so that's what I did.
And you're a Renaissance man, in a sense, would you say?
Well, I have a lot of interests, mm-hmm. you know. I'm easily distracted or I think I just have a lot of interests. Yeah. I like to read. I like everything, actually.
Nice.
I'm sort of a world slut, you know what I mean?
I'm not sure we can say that, but okay.
Okay.
And I also noticed as we're playing here the two solo songs that your voices are very distinctively different from each other.
It's true.
Yes,
and
they are.
So I'm wondering how you guys got together to think about this concept of an all wood and something album and how that started and how you kind of figured that.
I was at a wedding and ended up, when the band took a break, going on stage with two other songwriters. And when we got onto the stage, we realized that we all only sang our own songs. And we didn't know what to do together. Right. And one fellow said, "Do you know Ruby Tuesday?" And I said, "Well, I know the chorus." So he started doing Ruby Tuesday, and the other two of us went into the harmonies. And it sounded, with acoustic guitar and Crosby, Stills, and Nash like harmonies, really wonderful.
Right.
And on the way home from the wedding, I said to my wife, "You know, I don't think anybody's ever heard the Rolling Stones done... harmonically, you know, because there's no harmonies and there's no, you know." So I thought, I'm going to make a record of Rolling Stones songs but an acoustic reinvention of them. And I called John, who I think is just, you know, one of the finer musician singers on the planet. And I said, "You want to do this?" And he said, "Well, as it happens, I just ended my run with Touched by an Angel and I'm free." And I said, "Let's do it." And he showed up the first day with a fantastic arrangement to Last Time. And we took off and made All Wood and Stones, which XM called the record of the year.
Wow.
I feel like I'm...
Well, you're bragging a little. It was one of the top 100 records of the year.
Mike Barone
a little bit.
No, Mike Barone said it's in contention for a record of the year. That's what he said.
It was in contention.
It was in contention. Well, that's a good sign. That's a very good sign.
I'm his conscience, you know that.
How did you then, John, what gravitated you toward this project? What was it about this project that James Lee Stanley brought to your attention that made you want to kind of
follow up? Well, actually, he really had nothing to do with it, to be honest, other than making the call. Is that as I got... No, truly, I had gotten out of acoustic music.
Right.
I became a composer. I did not even have an acoustic guitar. And
wait a minute, let me back up. You didn't have an acoustic guitar?
No, I got really into this MIDI thing when it came out in the 80s.
Gotcha.
I was fascinated, and I've always been fascinated by new things. I love to move forward, you know what I mean? And
right.
I hate, the reason I stopped doing the Baddorf and Rodney stuff, I hate to go backwards. I always want to move forward. And I got into this MIDI stuff, and I thought, this is very fascinating, new cutting edge stuff. And so I got rid of all my guitars because it was, you know, the folk thing was dead anyway, and I wasn't going to be in Baddorf and Rodney anymore.
Right.
So I learned how to do all this really cool composing and MIDI and learned how to do samples and digital performer. And then I got this. I had done some projects with Michael McLean. I had done a book on tape. I did all the score for the thing, and I actually used that when I heard that they were looking for a composer for this new spinoff of Touched by an Angel. And I gave him the CD. And he says, "Wow, I think you're really right for this. I need to pitch it to these people." And so I did that, and I did that for 7 years. I was, you know, a composer, and I did all the source music. And then a guy approached me at the end of that run, who said he was a Baddorf and Rodney fan. And in the meantime, I was making enough money that I could afford old Martins, so I started buying a bunch of old Martins. And I didn't even really know how to play. I didn't have calluses anymore.
Wow.
So this guy goes, "Hey, look, I'm a big fan, and I'd like to do a house concert and invite 85 of my closest friends and have you play the songs." I go, "God, I haven't played those songs forever. I said, give me a month and a half. So I did it. And I, so I started getting my chops back. I started, because the Battlefront Ronnie CDs had been re-released. And so I started playing the songs. I said, these are pretty good songs. And the next thing you know, James called.
Right.
So if he'd called, you know, 2 years earlier, I said, listen, I you know, first of all, I don't play anymore. I do this other kind of gig. And so it was, the timing was perfect because I'd finally gotten my chops back. I was playing pretty good. And did that house concert, which was a remarkable night for me, and just was an inspiring thing to go on stage and play again. But we still, when we did this record, we were not ever going to go on the road. It was just, James read this book about how we could sell, 50,000 records?
On the internet without leaving the house. And I said, well, that sounds like a plan, you know what I mean?
So 10 years later,
here eat bonbons. No less, huh?
So 10 years later, we're just 45,000 short, but we're still looking at it.
Actually, 43,000, I think, you know.
Well, but that's not entirely true. We'll talk about how well this next album is doing because we chatted a little bit about that earlier.
It's only been out a week, so.
Yeah.
And it's already doing great.
Great. Well, let's start. What song do you guys want to open up with?
Well, I thought that we were going to play Play With Fire.
Let's do that.
No, this is off the new album as well.
Yeah.
I think we do, you guys. I hope we do.
We'll wait here.
Okay. All right.
I think it's cut right after, it's right after the last one we just played.
Is it?
Yes,
it is.
Okay.
All right. Well.
Well, you've got your diamonds and you've got your pretty clothes, and the chauffeur drives your cars. You let everybody know, so don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. Don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. She's an heiress, owns a block in St. John's Wood, and your father'd be there with her if he only could. But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire. No, don't play. Don't play with me,
John Batdorf, James Lee Stanley, off their new CD, Wooden Stones 2.
Yeah, all Wooden Stones
2. All Wooden Stones
2. We wanted to thank the newspaper, because if you were looking at yesterday's paper in the entertainment section, you were looking at John and I.
Right.
I'm the one who looks a lot like John's father.
I was thinking more like grandfather.
That's because John is so kind and gracious.
So musically, how did you guys figure out how to make this album work for you? Because as we mentioned earlier, you have two distinctive styles.
Are you talking about the first album or the second? Because there's quite a difference in both.
Oh,
stories,
okay.
Actually.
Well, what's the difference?
You want to talk about the first album, because that's really where it started.
Yeah. Our concept of the first album was to reinvent these songs in such a way that it would be like two guys sitting in a room with acoustic guitars playing these acoustic versions of the Rolling Stones songs. So we didn't put a lot of drums on there. We did do a lot of harmonies, but not too many guitars. And we wanted to make it an intimate record. But 7 years later, we've been playing together a song. We're starting to get good. And so we decided that we wanted to do something else with this one. Take it, John.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, some of the songs that are on this album, we rejected on the first album because we weren't ready to record them.
They were too rockin' for gotcha. What we were doing at the time.
It seems complicated to make that transition.
It's very complicated. It's very complicated to rewrite songs
right.
that you have had in your DNA forever
right.
and make them interesting enough where the people that listen aren't offended that you've stepped on the song.
Right. And how did you find Mick Jagger and Keith Richards as songwriters? I'm curious, because you both are strong songwriters. What was sort of your impression of their songwriting ability based on that?
I think they're fabulous songwriters.
Yeah, and I grew up listening to Ruby Tuesday and Last Time, and as famous as they've gotten, and you know the way their career has evolved into what it is now, in the beginning, they were writing songs competing with the Beatles for
right,
pop
that was
records.
A big deal, right?
And those were such well-crafted songs. And mm-hmm. and I think they're overlooked because of their image, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like they weren't, like, here's the singer-songwriters, Keith and Mick.
Mm-hmm. No, it's Keith's drugs and Mick's crotch, you know, so. Did I say that out loud? I beg your pardon.
I don't know. So musically, how did you guys blend your styles? How did that work for you?
Well, actually, they just kind of worked together because I'm a tenor.
Right.
I'm a baritone,
which is okay. a good start.
And also, I've always been a fan of the way John plays and the way John writes and the way John sings. So it wasn't like something I had to get used to. I was a fan of it, you know.
I'm curious though. Did John take one song and go and kind of do his version of it, and you took one song and you did your version of it?
Well,
or did you guys get in the same room and work together?
Yeah, he came in the first day with Last Time, and he already had an arrangement.
And Ruby Tuesday.
Ruby Tuesday, yeah. But the other songs, we literally sat in the room and we played them until something showed up, you know?
Yeah.
And we played a lot of songs, and some of them we went, nah.
Right.
You know, I mean, like Jumpin' Jack Flash, we went, we'll never do that song. So
right.
we just put it aside, and it's an ass-kicker on the new album. You
right.
know? So, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, here's a new one. I mean, this is off the new, what?
And can I dedicate this to my grandson, Jaden, who is actually listening.
Sure.
And he's with my wife right now, and I do miss him because he's there and I'm not, so
okay.
I'm gonna do Miss
so
You.
This is Miss You. Remember the song? Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That one.
Yeah, that's
that's this song.
That's the part. That's the part we
awesome.
Left out, and you can just see that.
That's awesome.
But we left that part out.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I've been holding out so long, I've been suffering all along, Lord, I miss you. And I've been hanging on the phone, I've been sleeping all along, Lord, I wanna kiss you. Oh, where you been so long? Where you been so long? Oh, where you been so long? I've been lying to myself, girl, it's you and no one else. I want to kiss you. And I've been hanging on the phone, I've been sleeping all alone, Oh Lord, I miss you. Ooh, where you been so long? Where you been so long? Ooh, where you been so long? Oh, I miss you, girl. How I miss you, girl. Oh, I miss you. How I miss you, girl. I've been wandering Central Park. I've been walking after dark around midnight. I've been shuffling on my feet. I've been stumbling in the street. People ask me, are you all right? Ooh, where you been so long? Where you been so long? Ooh, where you been so long?
Beautiful. I mean, really, the way your vocals blend so well together is amazing. The harmonies coming from John there on that particular song,
true.
Lead by James Lee Stanley. Beautiful stuff. I don't know that I would recognize that song. You know, it's you've done such an amazing job of making these songs.
Well,
sound.
We're not a cover band. You know, we wanted.
Right.
I mean, we didn't want to record them if we were going to do the same thing that they did to them. You
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
The deal was to reinvent them.
And you have.
And you know, we're really, to be honest, one of the concepts and the reasoning we made this record is because, you know, I had made three Battle from Rodney records and a silver record, and now I've made four solo CDs since, and James has made maybe 29 records, and we thought that maybe if we did this record, it'd be the first time we'd actually have a hit on a CD.
Just see what it was
just
like.
Just to surprise them.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
When you do that, do you have to get permission from someone? I mean, do you have to
we have
Mick
to
Jagger
send the money.
And say?
In front.
You have to send the money in front because the poor boys need to pay the rent.
Oh, really?
It's just a licensing fee. It's not much. And I think they would be happy that, you know, unless we butchered the songs, that
actually, one of my former booking agents is the booking agent for Charlie Watts, who's the drummer in the band, and he took a dozen of the first album up to them, gave them to everybody, and the reports back are that they like the record a lot.
I was just going to ask, have you had any response from the Stones at all in terms of their impression?
Do you think we could get Mick Jagger to call in this morning?
You know what?
He's on the phone.
He hasn't called. Every time I come home from the road, I say to my wife, "So did Mick call?" So
I'm
far,
curious,
no.
Are you finding that the music is finding new audiences?
Oh yes, definitely.
Younger
people have said that they never liked the Stones, but they like this.
Yeah, I might put myself in that category.
Take that, Mick.
I'm a bit of a nerd, but I really like this.
Well, thanks. We've had a little bit of both, though. We've had some people who said, "No, this is all wrong.
Right.
You can't do this to the Stones."
You're
going to
have
but
that.
But
okay.
In fact,
okay.
Most of the Stones sites, because I contacted the Stones fan sites and I sent them CDs. And they have been uniform in their celebration of it. They've really liked it.
You know what's interesting? We were chatting earlier how the industry, the music industry, has changed so dramatically, especially for independent musicians such as yourself. And how do you go about marketing, promoting, pushing your material out there?
We don't know.
Yeah, but you're working on it, right?
Yeah,
you talked to
yes, as a matter of fact, there's you know, the whole business model has changed. Now you can make a record without having a record deal. Obviously, you just do it yourself. And there's new ways of distributing music. I stumbled onto AirPlay Direct about 8 years ago, and they're a digital distribution company for radio stations. And I've been using them ever since, and we just put this new album on.
What, last week?
Last week, and right now we're the number one downloaded record.
In the world.
That's amazing.
From their site. So that's a good start. So it means at least radio stations are interested enough. Because they go there and listen. If they don't like it, they don't have to download it.
Right.
Right. What happens now is they play it, and we need, if in fact the audience responds to it and goes, "Hey, what was that?"
Right.
Which, in fact, We got. XM Radio is also on the record, and we've been getting wonderful response. People going, who is that? Where did that come from? You know, I've been like emailing people and sending them to our site, which is www.allwoodandstones.com.
Very nice. Very nice. John, you want to throw in a website there while we're listening?
Yeah, sure. Well, all our individual websites are on there. I'm John Bettner of music.com, and he's JamesLeeStanley.com. But it's all there. It's a well put together website that recently has been upgraded by our good buddy Russ Paris.
It's true. And now it's in color.
It looks really good, yeah. And yeah. And we don't just have dial up now. We actually have.
We do.
Speaking of which, we
got rid of those wooden computers. What's that?
We talked about a few names of musicians, singers who have appeared on.
Oh, that's true. Well, when we did the first record, I wanted to demonstrate that A, this wasn't a cover band, and that B, it should be given some consideration. Sure. And so I called Timothy Stritt from the Eagles, and I called Lawrence Juber from Wings, and I called Paul Barrera from Little Feet, and Peter Tork from the Monkees.
Right.
And they all came and played on the recording.
This was the first album?
The first album, All Wood and Stones. And then I did All Wood and Doors with a man named Cliff Eberhardt, actually at the behest of John Densmore from the Doors. And then I had John... And I didn't have. They asked to play. John and Robbie from the Doors played on the record, and the same cast of characters from All Wood and Stone. So, we've been trying to, you know, demonstrate that. See, you know, these are legitimate records, and real musicians love it. But on this record, John and I decided no.
Right.
There's nobody on this record but John and I playing guitars and doing all the vocals and. A drummer and two of our favorite bass players.
Yeah, and what was funny is that when the album came out, because Tim Schmidt was on there and a song like Ruby Tuesday, this guy goes, "Wow, man, that Ruby Tuesday sounds fantastic. That's Tim Schmidt singing the top, right?" And I go, "No, that was me." And he goes, and he's like, "No, that was me, man."
Yeah, we decided we actually did all the work. We'd like a little credit.
Right. Because
you know? People gravitate to the star, obviously. So we thought that, well, maybe we'll just show them that maybe.
But that's how we got attention, too. I mean, when you send that record to a newspaper for review and they see that some of the Eagles are on it and the Monkees and Little Feet and Wings, it's like, well, this obviously isn't something somebody did in their garage.
Right.
It's very much like the Oscars thing we talked about earlier, too.
Yeah. Right. You want to talk a little bit about the Oscars?
Well, yeah, it wasn't a big deal, but I was lucky enough to be chosen to sing with Adele on the Oscars on her Skyfall thing. And I've done almost every possible gig you could possibly do, and this was... pretty cool gig, I gotta tell you. Wow. And I was in a tuxedo, which is, you know,
you don't wear that often.
No one took pictures. Yeah, I look like a penguin.
And I was mentioning earlier, when I used to go see Baddorf and Rodney, it my impression was you were such a perfectionist when it came to your music and the sound of it. And James, you look like you're the same way as well, just by the way you approach your music.
I don't think
music.
I'm quite as OCD as John, but in fact, I like what he brings to the party. You know,
sure.
He doesn't let anything slip by, where I tend to be a little bit more. Yeah, that's fine, man.
I am cursed and blessed with the ears that just tell me this can be better. This is the wrong part. And I it started when I was a young kid. My dad told me that, listen, if anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Right.
So and that always kind of carried on, and now it's gotten worse because. I really have become a perfectionist, and I just will not accept. I mean, I'll sit there and play a solo for 2 hours until I think it's as good as I can play it.
Right.
And then I can't play it any better than that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But at least I did the best I could.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all you can ever
Whereas
ask
I never try to do the best I can.
Yeah, he has some albums that you could check out.
I love the repartee here, the dialogue back and forth.
What I'm trying to do is get back to the golf course. You
That's
know,
why I've made four and he's made 30. You
know? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming tours, the house concerts that you're doing and all of that.
Sure.
You want to play another song?
Yeah, we try.
Can
yeah.
we?
And we got to, you know, one of the things about the old album, we played the songs for 7 years and we got to the point where we felt like we had some swagger. We owned the songs. We didn't have to think, oh my God, what's my part? Well, that's what we're thinking now with the new stuff. We've been practicing them every day, and we tried them out in front of an audience, which was quite an experience.
Yes,
learning the words and stuff.
Sure.
And one thing I realized, and I didn't even think about it, we sat in my studio, and we practiced, and went on stage, which we always stand up, and I thought, oh my God, I've never played this song standing up before. And it's a completely different thing. You're looking
at
the dots. You're not looking at the frets when you're pushing your knee up like this. So. And we made a few mistakes that gig, I think.
Well, this next song, are you going to be able to play sitting down?
I'll find out.
I'm doing this one lying down.
What are you going to grace us with?
Well, we'll let you figure it out.
Okay, you got it.
I think you'll catch on.
That sounds good.
I met a gin-soaked barroom queen in Memphis. She tried to take me upstairs for a ride. She tried to heave me right across the shoulder, and I just can't seem to drink you off of my mind. Well, it's a honky-tonk women. Gimme, gimme, gimme the honky-tonk blues. Well, it's the honky-tonk women. Gimme, gimme, gimme the honky-tonk blues. I met a divorcee in New York City. She tried to put up some kind of a fight, and then the lady covered me with roses. Well, she blew my nose and then she blew my mind. Yeah. Well, it's the honky-tonk women. Gimme, gimme, gimme the honky-tonk blues. Well, it's the honky-tonk women. Gimme, gimme, gimme the honky-tonk blues. Divorcee in New York City. She tried to take me upstairs for a ride. She tried to heave me right across the shoulder. Well, she blew my nose and then she blew my mind. Yeah. Well, it's the honky-tonk women. Gimme, gimme, gimme the honky-tonk blues. Yeah, it's the honky-tonk women. Honky-tonk women. Gimme, gimme, gimme the honky-tonk blues. I said, gimme, 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 gimme the honky-tonk blues.
Woo! Beautiful.
Let me guess.
See Tootie.
Honky-tonk women.
Yes.
Very nice. Beautiful song.
Honky-tonk women, yes.
We meet a lot of those at age 61.
Really?
John, you look... You look like you're in such pain when you sing. It's amazing. But, I mean, really, you do. But you, I think you, as I recall, you've always sort of looked that way. That's just the way you
I've always been in pain, Scott.
He's an artiste, but man. We artists are in pain.
And I always felt, I mean, it's so silly. As a singer, you know, you have to live what you're doing. You know, you can't just sit there like a mannequin and play.
No.
I think if you're feeling it, you got to just do it.
I love it. I love it. By the way, I think the music is sounding great, by the way. So kudos to Mark and Don and Dustin and everyone else. Tyler, who helped us kind of work out the board and all
Tyler
that good stuff.
Email.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nice job. Nice job.
Thank you.
I want to talk a little bit about house concerts. It seems to me it's sort of a new concept, or maybe it's been around for a few years. But the concept behind house concerts is somebody approaches you two, and decides we want to invite you into our home for 30 or 50 or 100 people.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing.
Yeah, usually what happens, the way it started is that somebody, a fan of somebody, say a fan of John, said, you know, I want to show people John. They may not know who he is, and I think he's wonderful.
Right.
So I'm going to have a show at my house, and I'm going to invite all my friends and expose them all to John's music, you know.
Right.
And that was, I mean, I don't mean that John started house concerts. I mean that, you know. That was the beginning of it, and then it's become quite the thing because people like to go someplace safe. I mean, when you go to somebody's home in a regular neighborhood, and you know, it's not like going down to you know, Adam Street and looking for blues,
right?
Which I love, but
right,
I'm always scared.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing is that the our generation, the baby boomer generation, was the generation that grew up during the great singer songwriter era. I mean, I think it was probably the greatest era of original music and new frontiers ever. And now, I mean, even like me, I mean, now that I have my kids have grown and I'm really enjoying doing what I did when I was 18 and 19 years old. And I think that the audience is free enough now, with either in retirement or they're just rediscovering that era. And that's why the house concerts are, because it's a place they can go. It's a cool place where people are sitting as close as you guys are.
Right.
And
it's very intimate.
It's really great. It's just really great.
I've been to a few and they're incredible.
Yeah.
One of the interesting things about them is that many of them don't have sound systems. You know, when you go to a club and the music is so loud, you're screaming at each other, and you actually kind of brace yourself for the volume coming from the stage. But in a house concert, everyone is leaning forward because there isn't any amplification. So it's enormously intimate, you know, and people seem to really enjoy the genuine experience of the music coming from the instrument to their ears.
And know? They're not there for the food. They're not there for the alcohol. They're there for the music.
That's right.
Yeah, actually, they're there for the whole event.
Right.
It's like
dessert.
It's like a hip Tupperware party with music instead of Tupperware.
Okay, now, but wait a minute. Now, I have a house.
Right.
Can I have you guys over for dinner?
You invite 50 people over? Tell them it's going to be a sit-down concert.
And tell them there's a donation.
I was going to say, that's my big question. But it would cost tens of thousands of dollars to have you guys.
No, actually, it wouldn't.
Oh, really?
For you, twenties of thousands of dollars.
It's reasonably priced.
Yeah, like for the two of us, it would be a suggested donation of $20. And then we would do, you know, 2 hours of show, and we'd also, you know, interact with the audience on the breaks and talk. There's a meet and greet.
CDs.
Yeah, really? Right. It isn't as though we go back to the dressing room and you guys go to the concession stand. When we finish a set, we come out in the audience and we, you know, take names and numbers.
I'm looking at my producer friend, Scott Hayes, and going, we'll book that deal all day, won't we?
It's great.
It's amazing. Yeah, it really is a great system. And it helps keep independent musicians employed, because you guys travel around the country doing, you're busy.
Yes.
In these house concert venues.
Yeah, because you know what? More and more listening rooms are just going out of business because they started back in the 70s and 80s, and they just, people don't want to go down and mingle with drunks anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
James does. I personally don't.
You know, I like to think of myself as an equal opportunity philanderer. You know what I mean?
Well, let's do this. Let's play another song. I want to talk a little bit before we leave about a couple of more things before we close out.
Sure, we're going to do one from the first CD.
You actually
know this one.
That sounds good.
And this is featuring James on the doing his Mick impersonation.
John Batdorf, James Lee Stanley.
Here we go, babe. I can't get no, I can't get no, when I'm driving in my car and that man comes on the radio. He's telling me more and more about some useless information. Suppose I fire my imagination, I can't get no. No, 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 no. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. Oh, I tried.
Well, I tried.
And 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 I tried.
I tried.
I can't get no. I can't get no. When I'm watching my TV and a man comes on to tell me how white my shirts can be, but he can't be a man 'cause he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me.
I can't get no. No, 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 no. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no reaction.
Cause I tried.
Well, I tried.
And 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 I tried.
I can't get no. I can't get no satisfaction. No, no satisfaction.
No satisfaction.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. When I'm diving around the world and I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm trying to meet some girl, and she maybe, maybe better come back later next week. Because you see, I'm on a losing streak. I can't get no, I can't get no, I can't get no
satisfaction.
Cause I tried.
No satisfaction.
Cause I tried.
No satisfaction.
Cause I tried.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I can't get no, 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 no.
Cause I tried.
No satisfaction.
Nice, beautiful gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Gratitude.
You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. You've been listening to John Batdorf and James Lee Stanley playing off their new CD, All Wood and Stones 2.
It's two.
It's two. It's two.
It's two.
John, I want to talk very briefly. We have about 2 minutes, is
okay,
all.
Sure.
About this album you're working on with Michael McLean. Michael McLean.
Yep.
Called Soundtracks to Recovery,
yes,
for Addiction.
Michael McLean and I have been writing songs together since 1990, and he has collaborated on every song that I put out on a solo record. And we had this idea about 7 years ago. We both had addiction in our family, and we wanted to make a CD that was kind of the soundtrack for an addict, something that would give them hope in a moment of despair, maybe get into the next moment. And we thought this was a really clever idea. We actually tried it out in front of 700 addicts,
right?
And it was really the most rewarding experience for me. You know, another one of those things that you never think would ever happen. The people came to the stage, had no idea who we were, crying and said, "How can we get this CD? How can we get this CD?" And we said, "Well, we have to make it." We were just, right, seeing if this is something that reached it. It reached them so well. And I tried it again last year in Columbia. Mm-hmm. Went to a Phoenix house and played there, and it was the same remarkable experience.
And that album comes out in about 3 months.
Probably in June, yeah.
It'd be nice if we could revisit that in the near future.
I'd love
maybe,
to. Yeah, I'd love to bring it down here and do a whole thing
to
it.
We were at the shelter. About 70% of our people are in recovery. So
yes.
I'd love to learn more about
it's
that.
Really, it's a great thing. Yeah. Scott
thank
has some
for doing
paperwork
that on behalf
thank
of
you.
The recovery community.
Well, thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice. You've been listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station. I want to give my best to Mark and Don for doing all the hard work behind the board.
This is an awesome show. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The musicians.
And don't forget our websites.
Go ahead.
Yeah, JamesLeeStanley.com, JohnBetdorfMusic.com, and AllWoodAndStones.com.
And you should hear us when we're awake. We're actually really good.
When you've had your coffee. Bay Chapman, Corey, Cyrus of Sparkle Films.
Yay.
Thank you,
so
everybody.
Much,
Mark. Take it away, my friend.
Another amazing Scott Hayes production this morning.
Thank you, Mark. Very kind. Very kind.
Congratulations.
I live in an apartment on the 99th floor of my block. And I sit at home looking out the window, imagining that the world has stopped.